Hi guys, welcome back to Rooted Reflections. Today we'll be talking about how to go from lukewarm to true obedience. But first, let's start off in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. I thank you that we get to get together and to speak about these things. And I pray that whoever's listening would become more in depth with you and grow closer with you. And go from a lukewarm to obedience in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to start out in Acts chapter 6, verse 1.
And I'm going to go ahead and read. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word."
And if Hannah, if you want to give us a little insight to,
Some historical insight. Okay.
I know you like that
Yeah,
stuff.
so at this point, it's early in the church. At this point, Jesus has already resurrected. Pentecost has already happened, and there's two groups basically of Jewish Christians. Now they're clashing. So we have Hebrew Jews. So these would have been native Israelites. They would have been still keeping traditional customs, and then you would have had Hellenistic Jews. These would have been Jews who had been living, among Greek culture, speaking Greek, and they would have been carrying different customs and perspectives on that. So essentially, what's happening here is the Hellenistic widows, so these would have been Greek widows, they were being overlooked in the daily food distributions compared to the Hebrew Jews. So even though this sounds like a small problem, really it's revealing deeper issues of division and bias and
Right, and that's where the deacons would be coming in to come in and fill that need. They would have been seven men with good reputation, and they'd be full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. And I think that's a good, also a good outline of what it should look like for you and I as Christians. We should have a good reputation, and we should be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom and ready to be called. They were already filling those parameters, and then once God called them, they were able to fill that. So I think that's a good little note too. But if you want to, you have anything else to add?
Nope, I think I'll
Okay.
continue. So now we'll be reading verses 5 to 15. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel.
Ooh. So when I think of the face of an angel, when I was going through this, I was wondering, is it like his face was glowing, or like those stained glass windows that you see where they put like the halos around their face and it's like light bursting out of them? And then I thought of the story in Exodus when he came down from the mountain and everybody's Moses. Seeing him. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Exodus
34, I think. Yeah. Yeah, Exodus 34, 29 through 30. I'll read it real quick. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him.
Yeah, so he was talking with God. He was having communion with God. So I think the same thing was going on with Stephen. He was also probably undoubtedly in communion and communication with Jesus. Like, there wasn't, I'll talk to you later, Lord, tonight when I eat. He was locked in with God, and he was reflecting Christ, which I think is pretty bomb. What do you think about it?
Well, I think too, I think we should back up a little and hit on the council that he is standing before is the Sanhedrin. So the Sanhedrin would have been composed of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So this was like Israel's Supreme Court. So like 70 men plus the high priest. So the Pharisees would have been definitely known for strict rule keeping, definitely way traditional. Sadducees would have been similar, but more so wealthy elites, and they definitely cared more about their relationship with whoever was in power at the time. And I know on Wednesdays we talked a little bit about this too, but the Pharisees would have definitely been known, like more common among the people, and the Sadducees would have been more in tune with the elites and like whoever would have been in rule at that time, obviously Rome. But they denied the resurrection and the supernatural. And so this is the same council that condemned Jesus not long before that. So when Stephen stood before them, it wasn't just a legal trial, but a spiritual confrontation, really. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but yeah.
You know, that's a good point. I like that. So yeah, just to go off of that, so they seized him, and now he's in front of the council, and now this is his time to basically give his case. And so he does give the case, but it's basically just going through how rebellious.
So I think we need to hit on why Stephen. So there were other men, but Stephen's the only one on trial.
Yeah,
here.
I mean, out of all of the deacons, what, like, why Stephen, I think, would go back to, he had good reputation. He was full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and he was also doing great wonders and signs. So I'm sure when they had seen that probably really ticked them off. Because it's kind of like a reminder of Jesus, and they're just probably thinking, did we not just take care of this guy? And now there's another guy doing signs? Like, we don't like this. Like, we got to get rid of him. And I think he stood out because, obviously, when you are in fellowship with Christ and you're reflecting that light, you're going to stand out among other people. What do you think?
Well, I think obviously, we're given like limited information about exactly what Stephen was doing, like specifically. But obviously, I mean, if the Bible is inspired word of God, you know, God is saying that Stephen was full of spirit and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, the apostles had a different mission. So it was up to the church. It was up to them to take care of each other. take care of the widows. Mm-hmm. And so I think that Stephen was, I mean, it says he was a man full of faith, yeah, man full of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so he was down to serve, and he was faithful in a small thing, mm-hmm. you know, and he didn't wait for recognition.
No, no.
To obey.
He was just willing.
Right. And I think, what does it mean to be spirit filled?
I guess it would be a reflection of, like, maybe like your fruit is what I'm thinking. Like, when your spirit, like, well, I guess that would be more like a reflection of what would come off of you. But to be spirit filled, I don't know. How would you answer that?
Well, I think, I mean, obviously, we're, for the most part, I would say most of us are familiar with the fruits of the Spirit, but I think where we get wrong a lot of the time is it's, we try to make it our interpretation or our perspective of what that fruit looks like. And it's like, I'm trying to be, you know, more peaceful mm. and more loving. But, and yes, that's good to want to strive sure. for that. But instead of going, okay, God, I need you to be this for me because I am not naturally these things.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not naturally these things,
how do we like
the Spirit it? Has to be yeah. in its place for us because we are not
mm-hmm.
that. So when I'm going, okay, I need to be more peaceful, I need to be more loving, and I'm not saying that that directly is bad, but you're right. still depending on your own self to do
good.
Something that we are not naturally inclined to do.
Right.
So if Stephen is spirit-filled and has spirit-filled wisdom,
mm-hmm.
then I would say that, yeah, like, obviously he would have definitely reflected Christ. But I think ultimately, I think the theme of Stephen is just surrender. So, like, he was down right. to do the dirty work. He was down to do...
I agree.
What maybe some other people would have been like, I don't really feel like doing that.
Yeah, go feed those widows.
Right. Thanks. Or I want to be something better. I want to be something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think about today, and I know you said this right before we started the podcast, but, you know, worship culture right now is super big. So everyone, I don't want to say everyone, but so many people want to be on the stage and leading the worship and doing, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they, I think that it starts to make other smaller tasks around the church not look as appetizing. I don't know right. if that's the right word, but like,
no, like it doesn't look as, it's not about you.
It's not as entertaining, right. you know. Like, it's easy to get up. I don't want to say it's easy because I do it every week and it can be hard, but standing on the stage is something different than, you know, having to clean up after every church event. Like, that's not as yeah. sought after.
We're going to take care of the elderly. Maybe they need nail trimmings or they just need, like, you know.
Like, it doesn't look as fun.
To take care of them and things that people don't want to do. And
right.
don't want to do those things, but. You know, whatever you do to the least of these, you're doing unto me.
Right.
Like, whatever you do for him, it's for him.
Right. And I think also something important to note that just came to my mind just now is the reason that they had to lie about him was why?
Because they didn't have any.
They had nothing to say on him.
Right.
So I think that does go back to testimony, and it goes back to, are you so spirit-filled that people have to lie?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, are you giving them something that they don't even have to lie about? They're just stating the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I heard them talk this way.
Right.
Or are they lying and saying that you yeah. talked this way?
I think that's the reflection of your spirit-filled, because just like you said, I just feel like when you are so full of the Holy Spirit, it's much easier to give love, to give joy, or to give a soft answer, because you are,
and because it's those filled. Aren't yours,
right?
They're his,
because you can't do it on your own. You can't force yourself to reflect this characteristics of Stephen, because it comes from God. So when we're sitting here, I'll try to be nice today, but when you're locked in with Jesus, it's much easier, because it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit. Like, sometimes I want to say stuff and the Holy Spirit just shuts my little ups.
Yeah.
And then I start saying something really nice. I'm like, I don't even know where that came from. I wanted to hit you in the face. I don't mm-hmm. know what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, and think about Jesus before he was crucified. All he did was speak truth. And I mean, you can right. see in any encounter that he had with the Pharisees,
mm-hmm.
they would twist his words. You know, they would ask him a question just so that he could say something, and then but they had to twist his words because all he said was truth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even like, I mean, they had nothing on him either. So even with that, they had to transform what he said into some lie.
Right. I mean, even like when Pilate didn't even, he's like, what, there's no, I don't have anything.
Like, there's no fault in this man.
Like, what do you want me to do?
Right. Like, you're, you know, here's Barabbas over here, who's a literal thug, like criminal thief.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you want to crucify someone who's done nothing but love and bring people together and
heal people,
and they're still like, crucify,
right? But I think that's the reflection that Stephen's giving,
for sure.
He's giving the reflection because they don't like the light. It's in opposition to the darkness,
right?
So
and
we're about to,
the light will always reveal
what's
hidden,
and he's about to do that. He's about to shed some light.
Right. So here he is. His face is like
an angel.
The face of an angel.
Yes.
And also, before we move on, I just want to make the comment that something that I find convicting is your testimony should be so strong that if someone makes an accusation against you, other people should be like, they would not say that.
Right.
Or they would not be there.
I know that.
Oh, person. I heard Anna cussing up a storm, and I would be like, no. No, you know, you're like, you need to, you want it to be questioned. You don't want people going, oh yeah, I assumed that.
Right. Like my mother-in-law, if somebody said, oh, she just did this and she didn't even care, and she told me I was a, you know, whatever, a loser. I'm saying, you're tripping.
Yeah, there's no way. Never... Or there's got to be more context to that.
Yeah, I'm like, you did something. You actually did something.
Yeah.
And then I probably don't think she would do that.
Right. So then, you know, we get to chapter 7, and essentially Stephen is standing before the high priest, the Sanhedrin, and he's basically giving an account for what, like 53 verses? He's giving this account of, like, listen, the Jews have this constant pattern of disobeying God and rejecting him, no matter all these things like that God has done. He's done so many things, and yet they're, you know, stiff-necked. And I love what he says in, I think it's verse 51. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. And so he's like, you're continuing this pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, culturally, you know, you might be circumcised as God commanded the Hebrews to do. So you may look the part,
right?
But spiritually, you're dead. You're stiff-necked. You're religious, but you're not holy.
I think that's the opposite of spirit-filled,
right?
So I think that if somebody's listening and like, that kind of sounds like me, that would be the opposite of spirit-filled,
right?
Is when you're just doing things for religiosity.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then look in verse 52, he says, and they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. So even here, it's like he's not even getting defensive. He's just like, how much longer are you going to continue killing people that speak truth to you, or like trying to destroy the truth that is spoken to you? Why are you so hard-hearted? Like, you are just following all of the generations before you. And obviously we see in verse 54 of chapter 7, now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him.
I like, but when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And I think at first they were kind of like, he's kind of making sense.
What verse is that?
That's 51. 54.
Okay.
Yeah. And they gasped. It's almost like they knew what they did was wrong, but they didn't care. Like, I don't know how to describe that. Because when I think cut to the heart, I'm thinking maybe it penetrated their hearts a little bit. But then because when you get convicted, you either say, okay, Lord. and have a soft heart. Or it's, I don't need you. Mm-hmm. I can do things just by myself, just fine. I think that's the, you can be cut to the heart and then you have to choose where they go from there. And I think after that, and they gash, well, I just, that I feel like that's an opposition. Or am I just reading that wrong? Like, do you think that?
I mean, obviously, we know, like, if you look at 57, they end up yelling at him. And they rush at him, and then they cast him out of the city, and then they stone him. So I think, well, the first thing in 54 is that they were enraged at him. So they were mad. They were mad at him, and then they ground their teeth at him. So they're definitely not on board with what they said. Obviously, the Bible doesn't say if they...
I'm just wondering, because, like, if you had somebody come to you and you're like, oh, I'm so cut to the heart, but I'm also really mad. Like, what would that give to you? Wouldn't that be, like...
I think it could still be like, yeah, that's true, but I still don't care. Like, I think that's kind of the attitude of, like, well, now you're... I mean, think about it. They were so traditional.
Mm.
And they definitely took their lineages seriously. And so now you have Stephen here going, you're just like your daddy. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, he didn't say that. You're just like your grandpa. And, you know, obviously, they're going to get offended at that because it's like, okay, well, now you're dissing us.
Okay.
So, like, I think I'm looking at the Pharisees, Sadducees, just kind of how they always are in the New Testament. They're just always missing. They're, like, missing the mark. They're missing what's being said. So instead of going... oh, you're right.
No, they could not. They could never.
Right. Like, they go, they pick, like, they're missing everything that he's saying. Like, instead of going and focusing on just their continual.
It's like they can't help it.
Denial of the Holy Spirit through generations, generations, generations. It's like, are you dogging us? Like, they're missing.
Right.
They're missing it.
Yeah. Well, and they
so I don't even know if they were cut to the heart like that. I think they were cut to, they were offended. Like,
yeah.
Now you're talking bad about us. It's like, you're not even getting it, dude. And obviously in 57, then they cry out the loud voice and then they cast him out and stone him.
I like the, where it says that when they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears. I just think about Jesus when he says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they heard what he said and they're like, we're done.
Yeah.
I don't care because you are being blasphemous, obviously, so we're just gonna have to take care of you. Like, if they had ears to hear, they would have heard what he had to say.
Yeah.
But they were hard in their hearts.
Right.
So they didn't hear.
And also,
that's interesting.
Also, this came to mind in chapter 6. They're kind of going on about Moses. And I just find it so ironic that that his face shone like an angel. Stephen's face shone like an angel, just like Moses' did. And they would have probably been familiar with that happening. So I just think that's funny.
I wonder what was going through their head.
I think that's God kind of being like, haha.
Do you think afterwards they're like, hey, did you see that? Did you see his face?
I think they would have missed that, right? They probably would have missed that still and been like, can you believe all these things that he said? Like, they just always are missing.
I don't know. That's kind of crazy.
The point. But even, you know, if you look at verse 60, and falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold the sin against them.
Mm. It's a reflection of Christ.
Right, because what did Jesus say on the cross?
Mm-hmm.
Like, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Right. They don't even know what they're doing.
So even in his last moments, he's showing forgiveness.
Right. And that's another, you know, obviously that's a reflection of the spirit-filled Christian.
Right.
It's like, you need to reflect Christ. And he's doing that. That's a very hard spot to be when they're trying to kill you. And they are killing you. So
I probably wouldn't be so,
I don't know. I probably would just get quiet. Like, I don't even know.
Right. I mean, and being stoned is not a fun way to go out. So,
because how many blows does it take?
Dude, I don't know.
Like, how many licks does it take to get it to a lollipop? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's got to hit the right. I don't know. Anyways,
right. So going from lukewarm to obedient, what insight do you want to offer to that? Like, what can we learn, I guess, from Stephen and his faith and his testimony that we can apply?
Right. I think he wasn't lukewarm. And I think he
was... So maybe start off, what do you consider lukewarm?
Okay, well...
That's a big question.
What is Revelation 16, I think it is, where he talks about the lukewarm and how he's going to...
Right. Spit, oh, I think it's in 3. I think that's in 3. Revelation 3, yeah.
Revelation 3.
What are you talking about where he says you're neither hot or cold?
Yeah. And like, because you're lukewarm. Can you read that?
Yeah. You're neither hot nor cold because you are lukewarm. I'll spit you out of my mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think.
Which we know too, like the theme of water throughout the Bible. You got hot water. So hot water was used for like healing and restoring.
Like cleansing
things. Right. And cold water would have been like refreshing, life-giving. So lukewarm water is like not soothing.
Yeah, you ever just say, oh, I can't wait refreshing. To get a lukewarm water bottle right. in the middle of summer.
Right. So, you know, Jesus is using that to describe like they're being half-hearted.
I think I was like, this sounds like he wants to spit me out and it makes him, being lukewarm is like when I got COVID and I felt so sick because I just remember that feeling of just like, you know, getting sick to my stomach and wanting to get that out of, like, it disgusts me to even think about it. And that's like our sin and stuff.
So
I will vomit you out of my mouth.
You believe in God, but you're not burning for him.
Right.
And I forget where I heard this quote, but it's a faith. Lukewarm is like a faith that is convenient and not costly. And I don't remember where I heard that, but I remember going, that was fire. Lukewarm involves a faith that is convenient, but not costly.
Right. And what was costly to Stephen? His life.
His whole life.
Yeah. And that's kind of the point I was trying.
That is fire. So he didn't blend in.
No, he didn't.
Like, even out of the ones that...
blend in, he was shining.
Right, and obviously, like, I don't really know much about the others that were chosen based on this specific account. But obviously, in this situation, he's the one on trial here. Sanhedrin is, you know, they're clinging to religion, an image. And then you got Stephen out here. You know, living with fire. And I, you know, his life burned with genuine devotion. And I think that's why heaven stood for him. I mean, it says, you know, all throughout, well, I don't want to say all throughout the scriptures, but several times in the scriptures, Jesus is referred to as sitting at the right hand of the Father. And this time he's standing.
That's wild.
Like, imagine the heavens opening up above you and like, Jesus is standing, like standing O for you.
Like,
standing ovation from Jesus.
Is that what you think of? I think like standing up, like almost like he's almost angered. Like, I will not.
Oh, you're taking it as like a righteous anger towards.
I don't know. Like, standing up, like you ever just get like. Kind of fired up and you like stand yeah like up, pumped like, excuse up excuse me
yeah me and mafia I think
right and you stand up and jump on a couch
right not my like, best
what
moment
what the heck
yeah
it was a good moment it was a good moment but this is what I was talking about in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love I rebuke and chastise, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, As I overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And I just think, also, what comes with being close with him is that he may, you know, like, just like he rebuked Peter.
Mm.
But how are you going to hear that rebuke if you are not listening?
Well, and I know this is probably a stretch to say this, but whenever I hear that word zealous, obviously my mind goes to the zealots.
Exactly. That's where mine goes.
And it's like, obviously, I'm not saying that.
I think of the chosen.
Everything. I'm not saying everything they did was what I would do, you know, violence-wise. But I just think about that, like, burning passion of, like, I literally. Really
matters.
Yeah, like, I literally cannot stay silent.
Right.
Like, I am fired up. I am on fire. I am fueled to the point where, like,
anything's possible.
I will kill.
Right.
Like, I mean, think about it. Like, they were so passionate to the point where they thought killing was the answer to this. And not to, like, also be a history nerd, but I think about Bonhoeffer, and I think about, like, all those people, World War II.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we're so on fire for this cause that obviously we're cost, like, this costs our life.
Mm.
And it's like Bonhoeffer to the point, I mean, he was a pastor. Mm-hmm. So it's like to the point where he goes, I am willing to end Hitler's life for this injustice that's being done to God's people. So, like, so, you know, whether or not you agree with Bonhoeffer on his decisions or the zealots, I think just, again, don't miss the mark here. The mark being, are you so passionate that you can literally not be quiet?
Yeah. Are you screaming? Come down on the mountains.
Over the hills and everywhere.
I just think, and, you know, I think
that was so cringy. I'm
no,
so sorry.
It was good. I think what made me think of this is the whole thing with Charlie Kirk. And it's like what you just said.
Yeah.
Am I, like, so on fire that I'm willing to, I don't know. I was just reflecting, like, I do not have those characteristics that Charlie and Steven have of this conviction. Like, I'm going to do what the Lord called me to do. And I'm going to do it well. And I'm going to do it on fire. And I thought, am I?
Well, and not everyone has to, like, set
not,
up a tent and say,
no, that's
debate
not what I'm
me.
Saying, but to live out the convictions and actually be,
like, no matter what,
spirit filled.
Like, are you willing to risk people looking at you weird because you're passing out tracts?
You know, like, and there's people in other countries that don't even have a Bible, and yet they wish they had a Bible, and they're literally going to underground churches in China.
Yes.
Like, do we want it that bad?
Like, I actually just shared something with Pastor Tony and Elijah yesterday. I want to read it. It said, this was on Instagram for believers. Instagram. It said, to think that there is an underground church somewhere that's risking their lives for the gospel of Christ. People secretly reading the Bible just so they're not caught and killed. And you're out here playing with it.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, I just think about, not that it's a bad thing to have multiple Bibles, but I think we take it for granted.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I can just order one on Amazon.
Yeah, because if I lose
this
one.
And I'm not going to die.
This one's my car Bible. This one's my backpack Bible. This one's my desk
Bible. I just think that's so wild. Like, I don't want to live a life of, you know, like, I'm not, am I even on fire to pray right now?
Yeah.
Like, do I even take that genuinely serious?
Mm-hmm.
Do I even care?
So, what would you say is the key? Like, how do you, like, let's say people are listening and they're like, okay, I identify with that lukewarm. How do we get out of that?
Great. So did I, literally, just not too long ago. And not that I was doing the things that I should. I'm not saying I
didn't. And it can come in waves.
But I think the relational aspect with him was missing. Like, a really, really deep.
What do you mean by that?
Like, praying and reading and asking him, you know, what do you think about this, Lord? Like, can you tell me what this means? I don't understand. Or, and also sharing with me is a big conviction. And I think the things that God's calling you to do, and you're not doing it, that's an issue. But I think the lukewarmness is you're not really doing anything that's too bad to where, you know.
Well, that's where I think it starts. Like,
you know,
well, I'm like not you're on the fence, partying.
Not even drunk. So.
But you're also not reading your Bible.
Yeah. And you're also not telling anybody. And nobody at work, not for me, but I heard this recently from one of my friends. She said that her husband said, or husband's friend or whatever said, didn't even know that he was a Christian. And I'm like, man, that cuts me, because I would never want to hear that. I would want people to know, you know? And I think that that's an issue. And I think the way to get out of it is, I think when you grow closer with the Lord, it's much easier to reflect the spirit of him, because you're in fellowship with him. And I think that's what Stephen had, was the fellowship. And I think that's what a lot of people are lacking. They're doing, you're uncircumcised in your heart. There is no fellowship with Christ.
Like, you're playing a part.
Right, you're doing it well, and you look good. But God knows your heart and knows really where you're at. And I think if we also, if we are spirit-filled, we're going to hear the Holy Spirit say, talk to this person. I think undoubtedly, I don't care what anybody says, if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, he will tell you to talk to people.
Yeah.
Like, I hear him say stuff, and I'm like, Lord, I don't want to. That person looks weird. I'm just going to say it. He looks weird. I don't know. And I just do it. And there, it's like weird stuff. Like, I was just praying about that and asking God for a sign. And I'm like, I don't know about the whole sign thing, but, you know, I don't know how far that goes. But he did tell me to come tell you about Jesus. And I think surrender, too. Yeah. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're close with Christ, you're going to reflect.
And I think, kind of going back to that zeal thing, but I think, speaking of Charlie Kirk, it's his birthday today. Anyway, but going back to when we lost him, like, so many people were, like, affected by this. I know I was, and I remember being like, why am I so affected by this? And I definitely think it's because we share the same God, and so
the same spirit
that was in him. Yeah, so like my soul, like my inner spirit, not Holy Spirit, but like my spirit in my body was like
grieved.
It literally grieved me. And I think I remember the commonality, like, all over Facebook, all over Instagram, all over TikTok, like, everywhere. Right. It was, now who do we have? Like, are people going to, like, if something happened to you, are people going to go, wow, that was a great loss. Like, now who are we going to send? You know, like when we lost Charlie, like, he had such an impact that it's like, it felt like Billy Graham level.
Yes, of course.
And so, like, I think, not that we want people to be sad, but I think that that reaction of we're devastated because that person's impact is not on this earth anymore.
Right. And I think I had this prepared, like, right after his death. So that was kind of like my, so it's like, who's gonna step up now? Who, like, not that we all need to be, you know, doing the booth and, but I think in the marketplace, we should be at our schools, at our workplace, whatever we do, we need to, I don't want to say we are Charlie Kirk, but we need to be Jesus Christ. We need to step up.
Well, yeah, but also it's like, are you gonna, like, Charlie, I don't believe, and I could be wrong about this, but this is just my, like, perspective on it. Honestly, I don't believe that Charlie would have been in the booth had he not been at his work in the marketplace with his people. Like, are you willing to do the small stuff? Because you don't always just get to go do the big stuff. Right. Like, if you can't even do the small stuff, how are you going to go?
Well, think about all the time that he did researching.
Right.
He was constantly reading and constantly doing stuff. And, like, he was prepared when God called him to do something. And I think that's important, too. We need to be
Like, are you willing to serve in the areas that are not always, I know we kind of already talked about this in this podcast earlier, but like, are you willing to serve in the smaller ways where you don't get recognized mm-hmm. or it's dirty and it's not, it doesn't sound the like the best.
I'm in the, I get dirty every day.
Oh yeah. When he was yelling at that guy. Yeah. But I think that's like kind of with Steven, it's like he started serving tables and
mm-hmm.
I think we need to be doing the same.
Mm-hmm. And like, we need to have those ears to hear when he is calling us to do something. We're like, what's my calling? What's this? I'm like, well, have you been listening, like, at all?
Well, and I think that,
you know
we,
what I mean?
I think that the other issue is we live in a society that's so driven by occupation, too. So it's like, when you get the question, what is your calling? People automatically go, I was called to be a teacher. I'm called to be a pastor. And those are great. Like, I do believe that God calls people to certain occupations. Yeah. But like, at the end of the day, every single one of us has the same purpose, literally. Right. So whether you are a teacher, that's lawyer,
that's crazy.
Like, no matter what it is. So like, what's your calling? Well, your calling is to spread the gospel.
Oh my gosh. You just said word. This is so funny. Word for word, what I just told Nick before I came here.
Oh, that's
I
so
was
funny.
Like, does that make sense? Like, in that order of like the teacher and the, that's just funny.
Yeah.
But right. And I told him, I said, you, that's, those aren't the callings. Those are just things that you have talents for.
Yeah. Cause what if you stop being a teacher? Do you just all of a sudden have any
calling? Like, what would happen if you lost your voice? Are you just have no purpose now?
Right.
No, you can still share the gospel. It might be looking different. You might have to, maybe ASL.
Mm-hmm.
You can get into that, you know?
Yeah.
But that's not your, I don't think that's your calling. I think that is your talent. But sharing the gospel is everyone's purpose.
Yeah.
No matter what, you have purpose.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're,
you're literally made for.
That's what we're supposed to do.
Glorify God. Yeah.
And if we're not doing that, I think that also can lead to lukewarmness. Do you even care? This is what I think to my, this is what I tell myself. I'm like, do you even care about these people? They're going to hell in a handbasket. Do you absolutely even care?
Yeah.
You see how many people every day on the line at mm-hmm. work, and you don't even invite them to church.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even talk to them. Like, that's like just disgusting to me.
Yeah.
Like, I have so many opportunities and I just blow it for what? Comfortability.
Right.
And that just disgusts me.
Right.
And I don't want to live that way anymore. And especially after the whole Charlie Kirk thing, I got super fired up and amped up.
Right. And I think we're seeing that kind of across the world, really. I mean, think about all the people
I didn't know he had that big of an impact.
Yeah.
Outside of America.
Well, I think that sometimes the loss is what kind of creates that impact too, unfortunately. And I don't want to get into politics, but I definitely think that his death definitely impacted a lot of people's decisions afterwards.
So, but also I want to, at the end of Acts 7, there's like a chapter division, and before there wasn't. It wasn't. Maybe you remember who put the divisions in our Bible, but before there wasn't divisions. Like,
yeah, I have no idea.
Like, it just to make it easier to find where everything is. But so it talks about Saul, but the next line is, at that time a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria. So is that not the commission? Did that not start the commission?
Right.
Before they were in their comfortable little Jerusalem.
Right. It led us to Saul, who was a Pharisee.
Well, bigger than that, the church.
Like, they were being persecuted.
So they scattered. And is that not what?
Right.
Literally,
now they're spreading.
The commission is go unto all the nations. And if that acts, if Stephen's thing didn't happen, they wouldn't have scattered that way.
Right. Because
there would be nothing to scatter them.
Right.
But since they were fearful and they scattered, they were able to go tell more people.
Right.
So I was kind of like wondering, I'm like, well, Maybe Charlie's the modern day Stephen. Maybe this
Right
is
when
going to make us scatter and be like, whoa, whoa. And now we got to go somewhere else instead of just listening to Charlie and staying in our comfortable little Jerusalem, little comfortable little YouTube, Spotify, whatever we listen to him on.
Right.
But now we, there's no more, he's not giving any more content other than like old stuff.
Yeah.
Which makes me
so
sad.
So sad.
But now we have to go out.
Right.
We can't.
You can't rely on Charlie.
Yeah,
there's
no more content. So, but just like in, I mean, obviously we're not in America yet getting persecuted to make a scatter, but I think there was a type of scattering that I'm not sure how to explain yet.
Oh, I think it definitely made people think like, oh, is this going to happen? I mean, think about like other things that have happened, like churches are getting shot up. But yeah.
So yeah, that's just bottom line is if you at any point of this episode was like, hey, that's me, or maybe you just felt a little convicted, I would ask you, and you really need to get locked in. Like, we don't know how much longer we have. We don't know when the fulfillment of the Gentiles is going to come in. And how great would it be to be a part of that and to lay those crowns at his feet? Like, that should be our end goal, is to lay the, like, you don't show up to a birthday party without a present. And I think about that all the time of, I don't want to show up to a party without a gift. And like, he's my Lord and my Savior. Like, he saved me from hell. I cannot show up to his birthday party and not give him a gift. Like, I don't want to not throw crowns at his feet because he's so deserving. And I think that's the bottom line for me, is that we should want to throw those crowns at his feet. And sometimes we don't need lovey-dovey Christian podcast to say, everything's okay, guys. You're living just fine. No. Knock it off and get locked in. That's my final thought. What about you, Hannah?
I think you summed it up. I'll reiterate what Anna said. She said, get locked in. So get locked in, darn it. And we will see you next time.